prayer. Let's ask the name. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord. Lord, we just come before you, Lord, again this afternoon, Lord. I just pray that you would bless us, Lord. Bless our time, Lord, that we gather, Lord. We've come to meet with you, Lord Jesus, Lord, to be, Lord, to hear your word, to be blessed of you, Lord, to be drawn closer to you, Lord Jesus, Lord. So I just pray, Lord, that you'd move in by your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, at this time, Lord, and Lord, draw us closer to yourself, Lord, and bless those that might be listening, Lord. Bless your children, I pray, Lord, and just thank you and commit us into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So we sing number 109, Learning to Lean. Stand and sing number 229, I Serve a Risen Savior.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. Salvation to empower.
He lives in your heart, there's no one that can talk you out of it. Let's sing number 271, Burdens Now Are Lighter.
Burdens now are lighter, brighter is my way. It is such a joy to walk with Him. When this journey here is over, I'll set my feet on Him.
Trick of the devil to continuously tell you that you're not free. And it just drags you down. Tell you what, we'll just hold on to the word of God because He said that He'll set us free. We'll sing number 315, Count Your Blessings, and then I'll ask Sister Pauline if she would bring the item. Thank you, Sister Pauline.
This song is something I want to sing because it's something the Lord's been talking to me about. It's How About My Heart? Might look fine on the outside, but God sees on the inside, and I really want my heart to be right for Him. I'll just put it in F, I think. How about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that comes today. Is it black by sin, or is it pure within? Could you ask Christ in to stay? People often see with God. about your heart? Is it right with God? That's the thing that counts today. Is it black by sin, or is it pure within? Could you ask Christ into stay? People often see
true.
Amen.
Thank you, Sister Pauline. We'll have testimonies at this time, if there is any, signified by a raised hand. Thank you, Sister June.
I've just got another song that came to me this morning during the service. As we look all around us, all the fields are white. They're ripened unto harvest, yet so quickly comes the night. Christians must get busy, there's so much work to do. Here's an urgent task awaiting you. Souls are dying, souls are crying, men are dying. Won't you lead them to the cross? Go and find them. Please help to win them. Win the lost at any cost. Check your fold, my Christian brother. See if all your children are in. Are there some still straying in the blackened fields of sin? You must go out and win them. Go quickly without delay. Soon the trump of God shall end the day. Go out and win. Rescue from sin. Day's almost done and the battle's almost won. Souls are crying, men are dying, win the lost at any cost.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Any other testimonies? That's right. We'll sing number 58, and I'll ask Brother Howard if he would come.
I'm led by the mind.
Praise the Lord. Kept by the Master's hand. Praise the Lord. The Lord keeps us every day. Keeps us young. I saw a man around the corner here, mowing his lawn. Old man. 77, I believe. I said, "You look pretty fit." He said, "Well, you've got to look after yourself. That's what you've got to do. You've got to look after yourself." And I said, "You know, we've just got to keep going." He said, "It's all right for you 50-year-olds. I said, "Thank you." He looked at me. I said, "You just gave me a compliment. I'm 68. But I'll be happy with 50-year-olds. That's great. So the Lord keeps us. Is that true? And I believe He'll keep us until He comes, till that glorious day. Praise the Lord. I want to turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honour, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them just because they're believers. That's what it's saying. But rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and not to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions, as arguing and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and unto many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. May God bless the reading of his word. I want to read one more scripture from Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16. Proverbs 15, 16. Better is little with fear of the Lord. You just have nothing to rub together. You're very poorly. You have little. But you have the fear of the Lord. They have great treasure and trouble therewith. Great words, wonderful words. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we come to thee in your wonderful name, Lord. We pray that you'll quicken your precious word to us. Help us to understand what you'd want us to know, Lord. And not only know, Lord, but practice in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds, Lord. I ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled this word, Godliness with Contentment is Great Gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Wasn't talking about how much you own or hope to get. It just says, Godliness with contentment is great gain. We saw that in verse 6 of our first reading in 1 Timothy. Maybe you can bring that up, Nance. 1 Timothy 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Didn't say it's gain, it says great gain. So we just want to spend a few thoughts on that. You know, in this world, there's such unrest. Who believes that? So listen to your radio or the news. You'll see the great unrest. Total dissatisfaction. No one's happy with this. Not happy with the employer. Not happy with their job. Human rights dominate society. Oh, everything's human rights. Drives me crazy. And yields selfishness, discontent and greed. Children are discontent. They have more and they have more than they've ever had. Is that right? Yep. You know, as a kid, you know, had for a toy? Brother Pessa had a block of wood with a nail in it. That's right, you had the same toy. I probably got your one. That's true. And we used to, the floods used to come and fill up our, we didn't have proper drainage in those days. Used to fill up the trench up the back, which put a piece of string on it, and that was my ship. And I went down the drain pulling it. I was happy as a sandboy. I was so content. I didn't have everything else that blinks and squeaks and push buttons. And I had a blocker with a nail in it. And I just thank God for that. Because contentment is a wonderful thing to have. But we see families are discontented. Young people are not happy with home. They go out flatting. Discontent with God-given family. See, God put us in families. You know why he put us in families? For our protection. And Satan breeds dissatisfaction and discontentment. How? Through your peers and through your associations. If you can't face the problem, just leave. That's what they say. Changing our location never takes our problems away. When you change location with your problem, you just take your problem with you. That's all. And you hear people saying, it's better in Australia. I'm not sure they're saying that now, but they say it's better in Australia. Let's go to Australia. dissatisfied with New Zealand. The grass is greener over the ditch. You find it doesn't change anything. True New Zealanders will stick with a problem and see it through. Amen?
Amen.
So will true believers face their spiritual problems with God to the end. The Bible says in Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh, there's something to overcome, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. Jesus had to overcome. You have to overcome. You'll never do it by yourself. You'll do it with the power of God. Just lean on him, and he'll show you what to do. And he said, I'm sit down with my Father on his throne. The sign of maturity in people is to see them face the problem and not run. You know, brothers and sisters, it's really easy to say what I'm saying, but it's another thing to do it. You cannot just bury problems. They don't go away. You've got to go to the Lord in seriousness and seek the face of God and say, Lord, there's something not right. I want to get it right. You mean that with your heart, he'll help you. I know he will. The other thing is, people are dissatisfied with what they have. Some blame the government for their financial burden. They actually blame the government for their financial mess. Now, there may be a bit of truth in some of it, but generally, they blame the government for everything. They blame their employer. They even blame their wife. But never themselves. Brother and sister, we're going to look at these things. Perry Green from America used to come here. He used to say 90% of his interviews with people, with Christians, were financially connected. Many times, it is simply bad management of our money. I'm just talking on this because it comes into this. Bad management of our money, we blame the government, we blame our wife, we blame this, we blame that, we blame our employer. Often the root cause of financial problems has been fed by a wrong spirit of discontentment and lust for other things. You've got to learn to do without. We've got to just learn to do without. That's it. Now, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, for the love of money. Now, listen, this is a powerful scripture. The love of money is the root of all evil. Who believes that? If you believe the Bible, you have to say this. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, always wanting it, they have erred or gone away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Why? Loving money. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. You know, I could be a pauper, a guy with just rags on, or a vagabond in the streets of Calcutta, and still had that problem. You say, but you haven't got any money. It didn't say that. It says the love of it. You can be loving the money, and it's taking away from God. Absolutely. And so we see that the scripture could still apply to me because of the love of the money. Why do people strive for these things? Because they are discontented. They have not found the gold, the real gold. And we know what the real gold is, brothers? Christ Jesus our Lord. He's full joy and happiness. I don't care if I've got a penny, as long as I've got the Lord. That's all that matters. It's wonderful. To be contented is one of the greatest possessions to have, but not all. We can be contented with this, contented with that, contented with our job, contented with our wages or whatever. Well, look at the scripture in Luke 12:16. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain man, rich man, brought forth plentifully. business was brisk, we would say. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He had so much, he wasn't happy with that. He was now concerned about where he can store them. If he didn't have them, he wouldn't have to worry about where to store his fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns. He's not contented with what he had. And I'll build greater barns. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. See, brother, sister, it's a terrible thing to have. You can have all that, but not rich towards God. It was true, he had physical contentment. He had physical contentment. He had everything he needed. Sit back, relax, and take your ease. But without godliness. Contentment with godliness. Two things. To be contented with what you have and godliness is great gain. You may be contented with having money in the bank, but godliness with contentment is great gain. There's a striking similarity between a rich man and a pauper. Between the rich and the poor, there's something that's very similar. It's very interesting to note. They will both be buried in 6 foot of dirt. Is that right, brothers? Absolutely. That's the similarity between a rich man and a poor man. The end result is 6 foot of dirt. So that's not going to give you joy. And they both will take nothing away with them. We're all left behind. Let's read this in Psalm 49, verse 16. Be thou not afraid when the glory of this house is increased. This house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. Man that is in honor but understandeth not the real things of God is like a beast. To be walking with God and contentment with what you have and what you are in Christ Jesus is a great hidden treasure. A good test is $1 million. Who like $1 million? It's you and I, Pauline. It's all ours. You'd all like $1 million, right? Now listen. Compare $1 million with true happiness, peace and contentment when you lay down at night. That's what it comes down to. All the money in the world will perish with you, be left behind. There's only one contentment, and that's living a godly life with the Lord Jesus. I want to tell you a story. Jesus told stories. They were called parables. This cobbler... In the olden days, he was very poor, but very happy with his wife and his children. That's a blessing too. You need to be happy with your children. You need to be happy with your parents. That is a great blessing. Every day he worked from dawn to dusk, singing his happy song. He had a song. He was just so happy. Now, living above his workshop was a very rich man who worried daily about his gold. He had sleepless nights for worry, but was very impressed at the cobbler's song downstairs. So one day, he went down and he traded the cobbler's song for a bag of gold. Now, this is just a story, but I tell you what, it's got a lot of punch behind it. He traded the cobbler's song for a bag of gold. From that day onwards, there was a big change in the cobbler's heart and family. He hid the gold at the end of his bed. Then he hid it under his pillow. He became paranoid about people. He was suspicious of his wife. He did not trust his children. And he was worried sick. Every day he became more distrustful of everybody and certainly had no song. That had gone. After 1 month, he couldn't stand it anymore. He returned all the gold to the rich man to get his song back. Harmony and contentment was restored to his heart and family. I tell you, brother and sister, this is a reality. Just give me a song about the Lord Jesus. Give me a song in my heart every night, praising him. Keep the gold. That doesn't give you joy. I want to be able to sing to the Lord his praises and worship him and fellowship with him. In Psalm 96, verse 1, I will sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among the people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. Who believes that? Say amen. To talk with God in early morning and to know that he loves you and that he has given you eternal life, promising to provide your every need and to be content, is truly great gain. Who believes that? Well, I do. Some are discontent with their position in life. They're not happy with it. They want to be somebody. They may even want to be used of God. It sounds good, which is honorable. But the best position for you and me is to be in the position that God has ordained for you and me. When God orders your position, you don't have to strive for that position. Isn't that wonderful? When God gives you a position, you don't have to fight for it, strive for it, no. It is just there. You may want to be rich. He may want you to live a modest life. And you're trying to be rich. You're losing all your peace. But you only have contentment when you find the position he has ordained for you. Paul made this wonderful statement. I want to read it to you, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me hath flourished again, wherein ye also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. Listen to Brother Paul. Who's listening to Paul? In whatsoever state I am, whatever state, that's whatever state you're in, therewith to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. You know, let me just say this about airplanes. You know, I used to struggle with airplanes. You say, how could you struggle? Well, you fly them for 28 years. I mean, at least that, but been around the world 28 times, 29 times. And I hate, really, going into economy class. The reason I don't like it is because I never have enough room. My legs are too long. I'm quite tall. I'm more squashed. And I cannot breathe properly because everyone's sucking the oxygen in there. There's too many people in that class. So I try to upgrade to premium economy or to business class if it's possible. And I used to sit there and they say, sorry, Mr. Searle, the upgrade hasn't come through. And I'd be stewing away. I'd say, Lord, something wrong with me. I really want to get out of here. And then it's like the Lord popped the scripture into my heart that Paul had. Paul learned to be abased. He knew what it was to be in Caesar's palace. He knew what it was to be at the bottom of a ship, seasick, and slopping around with seaweed and stuff, and all the horrible smells that you get in the bottom of a sailing ship in those days. But Paul says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Brother and sister, this is the way we must be willing to go. Who's willing to do it? You've got to be willing. You've got to mean it with all your heart. When you think of the Lord, we all want it easy, you know, sitting on a 747 sucking orange juice. Listen, when Jesus went out, he went out into the wilderness all day in the hot Judean sun. When he came back, he had hardly a bed to lay down. He had to borrow everything. But he didn't lay down. He used to get up in the middle of the night and go out up to the mountain and pray all night. The Bible says so. Who's willing to be spent for the Lord? You know, brother and sister, we're just too soft. We want everything we want to be comfortable. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to that, at the expense of doing what God wants you to do, it's a terrible thing. I'm willing to go with them through the garden. You know that song we sing? I will honor be willing to go through them with the garden. That is not a rose garden. That is Gethsemane, where he sweated great drops of blood for you. How many of you are willing to give your life for the Lord? He gave his for you. So that was a really good scripture Paul gave us, and I thank him for it. So what causes us to become discontented? When we become overfull and contented to a point where godliness suffers in our life. When it comes to things of God, we've got to do that first. Your family comes before you. Your barbecues come before you. Everything else comes before you, before God. God is put on the back burner. And he'll take that seat. I heard somebody say, might have been Brother Branham said it, God will take whatever position you're willing to give. He won't complain. He'll take it. If you just give him 10% of your life, he'll take it. If you give him 95%, he'll take that too. I want to give him all of my life. I want to give him everything. You know, the king's child that is spoiled becomes hard to please. Cannot please them. It's amazing. Kids have got a lot of toys. You know, they just can never be happy. You go and give them a little gift or a little toy, you know, maybe a birthday or something, and you take it to them, and they've got all these toys, and they look at your partner and go, rip it open like a wild animal. Huh. Just throw it on the pile. If I got a toy, I'd treasure it for 12 months. My father used to get some really good toys from Germany because he's in business with people over there.
He got us a big, real metal truck. Really well made. That's all I had, just one. I must have come up a notch from the block of wood. But he gave us this truck, and I really appreciated it. I used to lie on the ground and just play with it all day long because I appreciated it. Others, they say, oh, what else you got around here? They have so much. They want everything. They want that, and then they're not happy. They don't like the color of it. They don't like the way it looks. Is that true? Godliness with contentment is great gain. Proverbs chapter 27:7 puts it this way. A full soul loweth a honeycomb. Now, a honeycombs are beautiful. Lovely and sweet. You've eaten honeycomb, honey out of the cone? The Bible says, a full soul loweth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You talk about contrast. Even a bitter thing is sweet to them because they're not full. They're grateful for what they can get. The children of Israel had angels' food every day, brother. Can you believe that, Brother Tom? Angels' food. There's angels' food on your lawn this morning, in the morning. It'd be a pretty wonderful thing. You could collect it. You could eat it as it was. You could cook it. You could bake it. You could do anything with it. Sent from heaven. Now, if I had the privilege of having angels' food on my lawn, you think I'd be the happiest people in the world? Let's turn to Numbers 21, verse 5. This is real, brothers and sisters. This is the real thing. This is real life we're speaking of. And the people of Israel, they spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of the land of Egypt to die? They were slaves in Egypt, being whipped every day. And they said, how have you come? You've taken us out of there. To die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loweth this light bread, manna. We loathe it. We can't stand it. That's the condition people get spiritually. They get to the stage where they can't take the blessings of God. They're just so bent on going back to Egypt and going back to eating garlic and all the things that they love back there. They want to go back to the world. Go back to the world. You're not a part of this. I want the Lord Jesus. I want His anointing. I want His power. Brother and sister, we need God. We've got a hunger and thirst for Him. In the Amplified Bible it says, they spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There's no bread, there's no water, and we detest this miserable food. People detest the preaching of the gospel. They detest hearing the word of God. They want something deep. They want meat. You know, they had meat, all right. The Bible says when they started eating on the meat, which they thought they needed, they died while the meat was still in their mouth. Be satisfied with what God's giving you. Contentment with godliness is great gain. Brother Brandon says, you know, man hasn't changed very much. He's still wandering about in the world, seeking pleasure, restless, never satisfied. Never coming to any right conclusions, never finding rest. He's just about in the same condition that he was when he left God in the Garden of Eden. He went out to shift for himself. He's been shifting ever since. He finds it's a rough way to go. And he looks like he doesn't care very much. Too many just were where this life will end up for them. And if we could sit down and take inventory and ask the question, why are we here? How come we never came on this earth and was brought us here? Now, where is our eternal destination going to be? I'll tell you what, your destination, your satisfying portion is being in Christ Jesus. Being in love with Him, brothers and sisters. Who loves the Lord? Say amen. He's more than you could ever get in this world. You know, the people in the world, they've got all the money and all the politics and everything else. They're the most miserable bunch you've ever seen. They're always fussing and arguing with each other. But a Christian rests in the everlasting arms. I just want the Lord. He's coming for us soon. Praise be to God. So Israel became discontented with the prophets of God that God had led them to. They wanted a king regardless, and they paid the price for it. We want a king. They got a king, and they paid for it. They got armies, wars. They had to work in the palace. They had servants, jealousies, and the rest of it. Because they weren't happy with the prophet God had sent them. Our discontentment will cost us dearly if we leave it unchecked. 1 Timothy chapter 6, Nancy, verse 8. And having food and raiment, that's clothes, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, the rich do, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some covet after, they have erred from the faith, pierced themselves through many sorrows. We read it before, but it's good to read it again. In the world, it is grab and hold all you can get. In God is let go and let God have His wonderful way. Just the opposite. I don't want to want anything of this world. I just want Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Who wants Jesus Christ? Amen. We just want Him. He is our satisfying portion. Everything of the world is emptiness. And you're going to leave it all behind. You'll get no joy out of it. Like the cobbler. He was just so happy at home with his little family doing the shoes and singing and happy every day. Then his man came and gave him some gold to take it away. And he was most miserable. We don't want it. Give me Jesus. Just give me the Lord. It says in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Oh. Don't be coveting things. Oh, I like that sister's coat. I wish I could have that coat. Or that brother's car. I'd like to have his car. Don't do that. And be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Praise God. I just want to know He's not going to leave me nor forsake me. I don't want all these things. I don't even want a ministry. I don't even want a gift. Unless He wants me to have one. I just want to have Him. Because He is life, Brother Peter. He's life. You got Him, you got life. Let's say praise the Lord. We've got life when we have Christ. If you try and mix it with other things, you'll be miserable. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We are a blessed people. Let us be content with God. Some are not rested and contented in God. They start looking for a new doctrine. They want something new, as we said before. They want a new church. He's not in those things. Our Lord is in you. Our contentment comes from within. I found that out when visiting Israel. God is not in the temples made with hands. He's not in the Western Wall. He's not in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, I see people go up to the waiting wall. They put their hands on it to get a blessing or something. Even Christians, I've seen them do it. They put requests, write them down and put them in the crack of the rocks. They hold it up there. I just did not feel happy about it. I don't get any thrill out of this. I don't want to go to Abraham's tomb. You know why I don't want to go to Abraham's tomb, Lee? He's not in there. He got out when Jesus rose from the dead. Glory! It says the Old Testament saints were seen walking the streets of Jerusalem when Jesus rose from the dead.
Hallelujah.
And something said, he's not in the rock. He's not in the temple. He's in you. And the Bible says, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? God dwells in you. It's really wonderful. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. We're casting all our care upon him, for he careth for you. Hallelujah. When we are rested, we are contented in God. Godliness with contentment is great gain. If you're not contented, maybe you need to get godliness in your life. If you're not living right, you're compromising, you're doing things behind people's back, but never behind God's back. He sees everything. You've got to live right. God sees everything. And if we're contented in the Lord, we're contented with godliness. It's great gain. Better than a billionaire. Because a billionaire, remember, is buried 6 foot of dirt, just the same as a beggar. Does nothing to you. I want Christ and him glorified. Who wants the Lord Jesus? Shall we just stand to our feet, brothers and sisters? We close in prayer. Hallelujah. Just ask the musicians to come forward. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I know it's the truth. Just give me Jesus. Just give me the Lord. You know, brother and sister, sometimes I go walk around this park and I go right over by the river there. See the little ducks swimming on the river. See the little birds. It's all about little birds that came down the other day. Two beautiful birds. I mean, really beautiful. About that big. Two of them, they always meet me. The same spot. They come down. A little fantails. And they're this close, seriously. And they just sit on a branch and I'm talking to them. I said, this is a part of heaven. These are God's creatures. And I feel one with these little fellas. I just feel the love in there. I feel the simplicity, the purity. You can have the world, brother and sister. You can have it all. Just give me Christ. Just give me his creation. Just give me everything that he has done. It's so perfect, so beautiful. And I feel very privileged that God has given us this opportunity. I don't want any of these other things. Give me Christ and him crucified. Shall we just pray? Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've given us contentment with godliness. Lord, we just want to be godly people. We want to live right, do right. Help us to be on time, Lord. Help us to be clean. Help us, Lord, to do these things that are right and pleasing to God. Be responsible. Even in the house of God, Lord, may we just keep a reverent atmosphere at all times. Lord, all these things are godliness. We want to have it, Lord. I pray that you'll help us. Lord, the hour is very late. You're coming soon, Lord. And I want to go with you when you come to take us. I don't want to be left in this pest house. Lord, I want to go with you and with the rest of the saints to be there, to ever to be in your presence, worshiping and praising you. And the things of this world will have no binding on us whatsoever. Lord, we ask this blessing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Dark bless leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning. Safe and secure from all our lives. Leaning, leaning. Reality in our lives, to lean on the everlasting arms. We let the world go its way. Give me Christ and Him crucified. Give me the Lord Jesus. I think we're going to have to sing this all over again. It's so true. Don't lean on your job. Don't lean on anybody else. Just lean on Christ. He's the everlasting one. The everlasting arms. What a blessedness. What a peace is mine. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. Leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a leaning on the everlasting arms. Right, let us sing now. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all our everlasting arms. The Lord Jesus, you're safe, secure. He's the rock. He's a cleft in the rock. Brother and sister, we should be so happy to lean on His everlasting arms. Oh boy, I could about take off right now. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Brother Lee, you better come to rescue me. Leaning, leaning. Thank you.
Jesus, that's true. We know that you're within us, Lord. We just love your presence. Help us, Lord, to do what you want us to do. We're not down and out. We're very well off, in fact, Lord, with the rest of the world. When you see the millions of people that are barely alive and what they stand in is all that they have. But, Lord, even they can have what we want to, and that's to have Jesus Christ within their hearts. Help us, Lord, to reach out for you, to acknowledge you, to read your word, and to pray to you. And thank you, Lord, for considering us and all the people that listen in on the internets and the CDs. Undertake for them, Lord, same as you're doing for us. Just be with us for the rest of the week. We ask it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You are dismissed. Amen.